Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we honor and acknowledge the work of the women of the LWML, both nationally and locally. You might ask yourself, why should we do that? Well, before I answer that question, you might want to ask yourself, why would a woman decide to join LWML in the first place? I think the answer to that question comes in the pledge that they read last year and that I believe is published in the bulletin today. I'm going to kind of summarize it, but the pledge begins that they pledge in gratitude for his dying and blood-bought gift, we dedicate ourselves. Thankful for Christ's sacrifice, these women respond to his resurrection and to their salvation. They're responding to Christ's love for them by reaching out for others. The book of James talks a lot about how we should be doing what some people call good works, not because we're trying to earn our way into heaven, but because when you have Christ in you, then you will just automatically do those kinds of good things. And how do they dedicate themselves? They do so in obedience, to obey his call in the fields of harvest, and they pledge with willing service to do so. These women obey that great commission that we all know comes from Matthew chapter 28, to go and teach and baptize. You notice that the Great Commission is composed of verbs, action words. And the LWML also goes on to say that we consecrate. When you consecrate something, you set it aside for a particular purpose. Their pledge says we consecrate our hands to work for him, our feet to go on errands, our voice to sing his praise, our lips to proclaim his redeeming love, our money to advance his kingdom, and our will to do his will. The last line says they consecrate every power in their life to the great task of bringing the erring and the lost to Jesus. Notice, too, that like the Great Commission, there are words here that are verbs. Verbs to dedicate, to obey, to consecrate. Action words do something. Matthew 28 encourages us to do something. And the ladies of the LWML do so willingly. I think a group that makes that kind of a pledge is worth honoring. You might ask, well, why should we honor people? After all, you know, they do that out of their goodness of their own heart. Shouldn't they just work in silence and without recognition? And you could go on to say, well, besides that, people are motivated not from the outside but from within, and you can't change their motivation. That's a true statement. However, there is a lot that we can do to stimulate that inner motivation that women have to join the LWML. A group called Volunteer Power suggests that there are several ways that we can stimulate that inner motivation. The first is positive feedback. When somebody does something right, tell them so. When somebody does something that you enjoy or appreciate, give them thanks. That motivates people. People are motivated, too, by regular rewards and recognition, and that's what we're doing today with LWML Sunday. I don't think Lutherans tend to celebrate their accomplishments nearly as much as they should. After all, celebration is a good time to review what you've done and look back and be proud of the accomplishments that you have made. When I was in the service Frequently at general quarters, we would have a ceremony where somebody would receive some, to me, what seemed like an insignificant little piece of paper that said thanks. And I always kind of poo-pooed that until one day I was called forward. And I received recognition for something that I did, and it was on a stupid little piece of paper. And I can't tell you how good that, warm that made me feel inside. Interestingly, the last thing on that list from the volunteer power people was volunteers are motivated when they have fun. Fun was not the first thing that people think about. And while the ladies of the LWML have fun, I'm sure that's not primary on their list of things. I also did some research and came across this statistic. According to the ABLE Altruist, only 25% of adults volunteer today. And that represents a 10-year low. We claim to have about 60 members in this congregation. And I get guessing that if you took the number of women who were involved in LWML, that would be about 25%. You see, we as a congregation are no different than the rest of the world. All of that may seem like a long way from the gospel reading today, but maybe not. Let's take a closer look. The gospel lesson is one of my favorites. It tells me I shouldn't worry, but I still do anyway. I come from a family that trained me well. They worried a lot about everything. If you want to write a horror novel, come to me, tell me the situation, and I will be able to come up with all the negative possibilities that could happen for you to write that novel. In fact, in the opening litany today, we all acknowledged that we worry. Worry and anxiety are actually very closely associated. We worry or we're anxious about what will happen to us, to our family, to our friends, to our home, to our possessions. We worry about money. We worry about this congregation. We worry about business. We worry about our job. We worry about the nation and the world and its safety and wonder if we're going to remain at peace. And those are things that we worry about that Jesus says we don't need to worry about those things. Look at the birds of the air, he says. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they are? As I sat writing this sermon in my office, I looked out the window and there's crows out there from time to time. I don't see them sitting around worrying about what am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? Where am I going to spend the night? They don't plant food. They don't harvest food. They don't store food in holes in trees. When they're hungry, they just go down and start looking what God has provided for them. And Jesus says, "And which of you by being anxious, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life?" Worry, if anything, shortens our life. It stimulates our system of fight or flight. It makes our heart beat faster, our blood pressure go up, our blood vessels dilate. Stress is the worst thing that we can do, and worrying causes stress. And then Jesus says, "And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory is not like one of these. But if God clothes the grass of the field and makes them beautiful, which today is alive and tomorrow we throw in the oven, will he not much more take care of you?" Do you ever look at the intricacy of a flower? There's lots of times when I take pictures of flowers, they're kind of my favorite subject to photograph. And I like to take really close close-ups a macro shot, if you will. And when you look at those flowers, you see the delicacy of the way that flower is put together. That flower doesn't work. It doesn't toil. It doesn't store up in barns. It just grows to be a flower. Jesus concludes that if he can make flowers like that, that today are beautiful and tomorrow are wilted and we throw them out, will he not much more care for us? He concludes that statement by saying, "Where is your faith?" And then in the last verse of the gospel lesson today, we hear this. Therefore, when you come across that word, therefore, it's kind of a summary of, because of what all I just said, this is what you should do. Therefore, Jesus says, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek all of these things as well. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. And then he concludes by saying, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That's why you don't need to be anxious about food or drink or clothing. Rather, we need to seek God first and his righteousness, and then all those things just come along with the package. As we look further at the LWML pledge, we see that the focus is not on the members of that group, but on reaching outside of that group. The focus is on dedication and obedience and consecration. And they dedicate themselves to God's work. They obey his call in the fields of harvest and pledge to do so in willing service. They consecrate, that is, they set aside their hands and feet, their voice and their lips and their money and their will to do God's will. But I bet you if we ask them, they would also admit that they worry and are anxious. How will I know what to say when I am presented with an opportunity to witness for Christ? How will I know what to do when the situation arises and presents itself and I recognize that I might have something good to say to this person about Jesus Christ? And certainly, I bet they are anxious and have some concern and worry about the future of this congregation. Now is the time for the women of the LWML and for each and every one of us to use our God-given spiritual gifts and abilities that God gave us to meet the challenge of sharing the gospel message of Jesus Christ with those people around us. We need to meet that challenge. We need to meet that challenge not because we need somebody to take our place, not because we need somebody to fix the leaky roof, not because we need somebody to be on the council, not because we need somebody to be an elder next year. We need to meet that challenge because God commands us to do that. There are souls out there who need God's love and forgiveness, and they need to know about his saving grace. We certainly do want to show our love to others. We want to do so without sounding holier than thou. We don't want to preach to people. We all need to be the tool of the Holy Spirit, the tool that he uses to reach out to those people who don't know Christ. We want to gently restore those people who have fallen away and restore their walk with Christ. But then it comes down to that point when the rubber meets the road and you stand before the person you're questioning or the person who is questioning your faith and you wonder, what do I do? What do I do to change fear into faithfulness? What do I say to change worry into faith? What's the right thing for me to do to change anxiety into confidence? I have a couple of suggestions. First of all, in that situation, I want you to forget about yourself. I want you to forget about the anxiety that you have, and I want you to focus on that other person. Think to yourself, who is this person? What is it that they need? How can I help them? Where are they in relation to God? What is their belief? If they're hungry, telling them that Jesus says, don't worry about where your food's coming from, is not going to be very helpful. You see, they need to know how much you care about them before they know how much you care about their salvation. Let me say that again. They need to know how much you care about them before they will care how much you know about their salvation. Second thing you can do. Hear, believe, and find comfort in Jesus' promise. He has promised that he cares for us more than he cares for the birds of the air, the lilies of the field. He cares for us more than anything else in his creation. And he is there for us when we need him. Remember those things. Believe his promises. Thirdly, think about what Jesus says in Luke chapter 12. Jesus speaks, and when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying, I have this kind of outline of a summary, a 30-second statement about my faith. But I don't think that memorizing it is the thing to do. Because when God presents you with that opportunity to witness, then he's also going to send you the Holy Spirit to teach you what you need to say that very hour. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, all of God's promises are yours. They're yours when you speak to your neighbor next door or across the street. They're yours when you speak to your friend at work. They're yours when you speak to your son or daughter who has grown away from the Lord and whose heart you seek to return to him. Today we honor the ladies of the LWML, and we acknowledge the work that they do, but we also realize that is the work that we all need to be doing. We need to be following their lead. In spite of our worry and our anxiety, as we labor in that harvest field, God promises that he loves us. He promises that we are important to him. He promises that that person you're speaking to is important to him as well. And he will give you those words. And he promises finally that with God all things are possible. So let it be. Amen. Now may the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.